Well, take your Bibles out once again as we start a sermon series titled Looking Forward to Something New from the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. We have seen what is going to take place in the lives of all the unbelievers in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, as they go before the great white throne judgment of God. They will be judged and sentenced to everlasting life in the lake of fire that burns with sulfur forever. For day to night, they will be tormented. That is their future home. But thankfully, God has a future home in store for those who are in Christ that is by far much different. And that's what we're going to be studying about here in the final chapters of the book of Revelation. So, main lesson we're going to carry with us is this: God's people have a wonderful future to look forward to, where we will dwell with God and experience life without pain, without loss, and without anxiety. In other words, we will have complete joy, uninterrupted joy, and freedom. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like something I want to be a part of. And I'm thankful that God has already set that in place, and it is sure and certain going to happen. Well, getting ready for Elizabeth and Wade's big day, I spoiled myself just a little bit by going to get my beard done by a professional, by an expert. And for any of you guys who have beards, I would suggest going and doing that at least one time in life. It really does feel good. And so I laid back in the chair, and for about 45 minutes, I was thoroughly pampered by this expert. And during the course of our conversation, it came out that I was a pastor, and so we naturally started talking about spiritual things. Found out that he was a believer as well. And so one of the things that we began talking about was heaven and how wonderful heaven is going to be. Now, this man, who, as I said, acknowledged that he was a believer, I said I was ready for heaven, and he said he wasn't ready for heaven. He had too many things left on earth that he wanted to get done before he went to heaven. And so maybe you feel the same way. Maybe I've probably felt the same way at times. But if we do, then we're really unlike the psalmist who said, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" Speaking of the Lord. "And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you, O Lord." You see, earth and all of its pleasures and all of its beauties, and there are many, they all pale in comparison to the wondrous rapture of heaven's glory. And if we know and believe that biblical truth, then I think that we would think of heaven more often and desire to be there more than we desire to be in this sin-sick world. Today we learn about the new place that we will live and the new way in which we'll live, and I hope it's going to stir just this little longing for heaven more and more as the things of this world grow strangely dim. Listen, church family, we can all look forward to something new that God has in store for us. Amen and amen. Well, first we learn about a new place that we're going to live in eternity. So look at verses 1 through 2 with me in Revelation chapter 21 as we see this new place to live. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful that your word sets the record straight, that it teaches us, it tells us that there is one of two places that every single individual person will end up in eternity. One is a bleak future where all those whose names are not written in the book of life will end up. It's called the second death, where there is everlasting torment, a real place of hell. And Lord, the other is the place that all those who are in Christ will end up, whose names are written in the book of life, not because they deserve it, not even because they desired it at one time in their life, but simply because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the work of the Holy Spirit to bring them to spiritual life, that they would hear the gospel and place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and repent of their sins, and His righteousness would be theirs. And so, Father, we know that Your Word says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And You have a wonderful, wonderful future in store for those who are in Christ, washed in the blood of Jesus. And we give You praise. Thank You for telling us about it today. And so, Father, please give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and a taste for this, the treasure of Your holy word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, we're advancing in chronological fashion in the history of the world. Now, there are all kinds of histories to study out there, all kinds of histories. And what we are studying is world history, okay? World history that God has set before us. And this world history involves every living being, every soul that's ever lived the face of this earth. And so we know that we're advancing chronologically in time in the history of the world because John uses this phrase, I saw, over and over again to introduce a new phase in time, in the advancement of time. And notice in verse 1, that's what John tells us. He says, then I saw. So we're moving forward. We just left a time in history where unbelievers will go before the great white throne of God and be judged to the second death. And now we're learning about what is in store for believers. I'm so thankful for that. We're not going to guess what's in store for us. We can know what's in store for us because it's right here in God's Word. And it's something that we can look forward to. We're looking forward to something new and wonderful that has never been before. This is one of the most exciting revelations of Scripture. It's one of the most welcoming revelations of Scripture, and it's one of the most wonderful revelation of God's Word as we learn about this new place that will live for all eternity. Now, let me try to make this a little bit personal. You know, I believe I know this for sure and for certain, that I'm looking at a room full of people, a sanctuary full of people who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I reasonably believe that today? If I can, I would like to see amen or hallelujah on your lips. All right, so I'm not just talking about something vague out there like world history, although that's what we're talking about. I am preaching to you from God's Word something that is very personal. I am preaching to you, what is your history? What is your history? What is in store? That's right, baby boy. I am preaching to you what is in store for you personally. Now, if that don't get a little extra step and you get along, I'm not sure what will. If I can't get it, Liam will. And so I'm preaching to you your personal history. And it's exciting and it's welcoming and it is wonderful. Now, notice what John saw. He saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. We know what the sea gave up. Revelation chapter 20 told us that the sea gave up all of its dead who were not in Christ. New here can be understood in a couple of different ways. One way you can understand new as in a qualitative sense, quality, and the other is in a chronological sense. Now, John is moving forward chronologically as he has stated, I saw this next. But here, this new that is translated from the Greek is in the qualitative sense. So he's talking about something that has quality that has never been seen or smelled or touched before. And so one theologian says this, the new heaven and the new earth will not merely succeed the present universe in chronological sequence, they will be something brand new. Now, I know you guys. I know you. I think I do anyway, pretty well. And I know anytime you get something brand new, it sort of excites you, doesn't it? I've seen you get brand new shoes before, and I know what it does. I've seen you get brand new cars before, and I know what that does. I've seen when you have brand new babies in your life, and I know what that does. But as good as a new car is, and new shoes is, and a brand new baby is, they pale in comparison to what is going to be in store for us that is brand new some historic day. God will create a brand new heaven. He'll create a brand new earth. And on that new earth, His people will enjoy Him together for all eternity like we've never done before. And all I can simply say is hallelujah. This is where we will live in perpetuity. Dr. Seiss describes the new heaven this way. He says it like this. An earth, this is the new heaven, the new earth, an earth which no longer smarts and smokes under the curse of sin. An earth which needs no more to be torn with hooks and irons to make it yield its fruits. An earth where thorns and thistles no longer infest the ground. No serpents hiss among the flowers. No savage beasts lay in ambush to devour. An earth whose sod is never cut with graves, whose soil is never moistened with tears or saturated with human blood, whose fields are never blasted with unpropitious seasons or unpropitious seasons, whose atmosphere never gives wings to the seeds of plague and death, whose ways are never lined with funeral processions or blocked up with armed men on their way to war, an earth whose hills ever flow with salvation, and whose valleys know only the sweetness of Jehovah's smile. An earth from end to end, from center to utmost verge, clothed with the eternal blessedness of paradise restored. Does that sound good to you? I like that something new. Church family, that is a wonderful and welcoming and breathtaking thing that we're going to experience one thing, one day. And one thing that will not be present in this new earth, as you saw me read, is the sea. The sea will not be present. Think about that for a moment. What is the one thing every human being needs? Water. The world is three-fourths water. We need the sea on this old earth so that, as we learned in ninth grade biology, that the hydrologic cycle can water the earth with rain. And again, our bodies are mostly made up of water. What does this tell us about the new heaven? What does this tell us about our new bodies? Well, first of all, it tells me that we will not need to hydrate our new bodies. We won't need water. We won't need anything like that as we do now. Secondly, the earth's climate will be totally different and much better than it is today. Life will not be dependent upon water any longer. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, a couple of things. People won't die of thirst anymore. That's one thing. There will be, now I think most of us will appreciate this, there's going to be no water bills. Amen? No sewage bills, no water pipes, no commodes to get stopped up. We won't need our land perked anymore, nor will we need expensive septic systems or permits to have that done. And for all you guys in plumbing out there, you're going to be out of a job because we're not going to need plumbers anymore, and I just say hallelujah to that. But I'm thankful they're around today, aren't you? You know, all that's just simply say life is going to be much better than it has ever been for us.
when we get to this new heaven in our new bodies. And we won't be longing for earthly things anymore, such as water. The Bible tells us that the first heaven and the first earth and their brokenness, their frailty, and all the problems with them, those things are going to pass away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to think of something different to talk about. One theologian put it this way, from a metaphorical perspective, from a literary perspective, commentaries have seen the absence of the sea as symbolic of the absence of evil. And I'm good with that. Aren't you? I am good with that. I'm good with knowing that all evil will be abolished from this earth one day. And the thing that I like even in association with that is simply that I can't taint this world as I do today with evil. I cannot bring any evil into the world of the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. What a burden to be free of, isn't it? What a burden to be free of. And you guys are saying, well, wow, Pastor David, I didn't know you were that bad. Well, look in the mirror. Amen. There is one thing for sure and for certain. Unlike our first parents, Adam and Eve, we cannot do anything to harm this new heaven or this new earth. It will be impossible. And I'm thankful for that, that there will be no evil and there will be no consequences of evil on earth ever, ever again. And what does that mean? What does it mean that no evil will be on the earth? Well, think of everything evil. And think of all that the consequences of that evil. Think about it for a moment. I dare say that the government of the United States was made in response to evil. The Constitution of the United States is there to hold back evil. Laws are made to hold back evil. There'll be no laws, there'll be no constitutions, there'll be no worldly governments, there'll be just one supreme potentate of all the earth, and there'll be no need for sheriff's deputies, hallelujah. Every day, boys go out, I pray for them. And y'all need to pray for all of our law enforcement, because they have a dangerous job. And I'm so thankful they'll be out of a job one day because there'll be no evil to have to control. Hallelujah and amen and amen. So there'll be no wars. There'll be no weapons of destruction. There'll be no judges. There'll be no emergency service workers. There won't even be hospitals. There won't be drug stores. There won't be a Walgreens at the corner of Happy and whatever. There won't be any of that. You know that I will never have to take another aspirin. Hallelujah. My knees won't ever hurt, and I won't ever have to take an ibuprofen again. I don't know about y'all, I'm looking forward to that. I won't have to take the gob of supplements I take every day. I won't have to do that. And the great thing about it is I won't have to pay for that stuff. Because in our new bodies that are imperishable and immortal, they will weather all eternity and never grow old, never an ache, never a pain. I won't walk into a room and forget what I'm there for. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what's a part of the new heaven and the new earth, is that we are given new bodies to live there. And it's going to be good. I can't imagine living in a world without evil. I never have. I've never lived in a world without the effect of evil. And neither have you. But one day, I know according to God's word, that I will. And so will you. And I praise the Lord for that. John not only saw a new heaven and a new earth, as we've just talked about, but he also saw a new Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, I'm not going to get into details on this because we're going to get into details on the New Jerusalem after verse 9 and following of chapter 21 of Revelation. But suffice it to say, this place, this New Jerusalem, it already exists. And the Lord is just waiting for the fullness of time to reveal this New Jerusalem to His people. We know that God is its designer and its builder. Therefore, it's going to be far more wonderful than we can ever imagine. And so it's the new place that every believer from every age, from the four corners of the earth, will live for all eternity. So a new place to live. Now, next Sunday, we're going to look at a new way of living, a new way of living. And we see that in verses 3 through 4. Let me read those to you as I close this morning. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man.'" This is a new way of living. We know we have a new place to live. Now it's a new way of living. "He will dwell with them and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." Now, God just said, the Holy Bible just said the same thing four different ways. A new way of living with God. And then it says in verse 4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Little Billy, caught in mischief, was asked by his mother, "How do you expect to get into heaven?" And he thought for a moment, then he said, "Well, I'll just run in and out of heaven and keep slamming the doors until they say, 'For heaven's sakes, Billy, either come in or stay out.' And then I'll go in." Well, little Billy is in for a rude awakening, church family, because that's not the way you get into heaven. He's got the wrong plan, and it ain't going to work for him, because we know that the only way we enter into heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Him. The Bible tells us how we can get into heaven. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's the plan. That's the plan, church family. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children alone. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. That, my friends, is God's plan for anyone to enter into heaven. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now let me just ask, do you know Him in a saving way? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the plan of salvation. For it is Your power for all those who believe, for the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Lord, we thank You that You love the world so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank You that in Your sovereign plan, those whom You've given to Christ will be raised up the last day and be given a new home in a new heaven, in a new earth, in a new Jerusalem. And Father, we thank You that that is what we have to look forward to, something new. And Lord, for all those who have not placed their faith in Jesus, now is the day, it's the time of salvation. And I pray that they would place their faith in Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and also be in that new Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.